Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Mike Kiris. We have a special guest. We'll get to him in a second, but first let's set up the week. It's a quick and a short week for the Vikings. They have a big win over the Arizona Cardinals, a win in which Adrian Peterson and our defense dominate. 21-14, the Vikings are victorious. They move to 5-2, but you can't celebrate it too long because we have a game on Thursday night. It's Thursday Night Football, televised by the NFL Network. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers come to town, former division rivals. The Vikings and Buccaneers were division rivals from 1977 to 2001, and a man who's familiar with Thursday Night Football, the NFL Network, that old rivalry, and the man who will call the game on Thursday night is Brad Nessler, and he's our guest on today's Wobcast. Welcome in, Brad.
Wobby, good to be with you. You know, I remember my favorite uniforms were the Dreamsicle uniforms that the Bucks had. You know, you remember those?
Yeah, oh yeah. They wore them last week.
Oh, did they really?
Yes.
All right, well, the throwback's over. I like the old Viking uniforms with the purple pants. We got to have those back.
Well, we were just walking through Winter Park to get down here through the studio, and you saw some of those pictures of the old uniforms, and you're a Minnesota native.
Yes.
St. Charles, Minnesota, so you grew up watching the Vikings in those uniforms and the old days, so to speak, right?
I was a definite Viking fan. I still am. I can't be on Thursday night, but two teams are the Vikings and the Falcons, and I grew up in Minnesota. Lived here until I was 24 or 25 before I moved to Georgia, so I've been there for 32 years now, but still good to come home.
So early in your career, I mean, you actually called Vikings games.
Right.
So you grew up a fan of the Vikings, you call their games, and then you said you're a fan of Atlanta. You called Falcons games.
Yeah, I did.
Too, correct?
I did the Falcons for about 6 years, and then I came up and did the Vikings, I think it was 88 and 89 for a couple years before I moved to CBS and TV. Yeah. So it was great times when I came up. You know, I was on WCCO, and that's the station my parents grew up listening to. And when we came into town, when they announced that I was going to be the voice of the Vikings, I don't think my parents could have been any prouder. And we had a news conference, and Mike Lynn was the general manager of the Vikings at the time. He liked to do things in a big way. CCO was pretty happy to have a Minnesota kid come back to call a game. So kind of a special time. It was great.
So growing up in St. Charles, not very far from Waseca, by the way, which is where I grew up.
Right.
And then you go to college at Minnesota State in Mankato, not very far from Sleepy Eye, where producer Mike Harris
is
from.
We got a bunch of Minnesota guys.
Yeah, we got a good gang in here right now. But you went to school at Minnesota State. That's where we have training camp. We have a lot of fun in Mankato every year we go there. That must have been a good experience for you too, huh?
That actually is where I started, because I started a college station there. And with training camp being there, you know, we would do Viking reports basically on a daily basis. Yeah. And I remember the first time walking into a Bud Grant post-practice session, and I had a tape recorder, and I just turned it on and put it right on the table in front of Coach Grant, and he got about one question into that post-practice session, and he said, "Whose tape recorder is that?" And I said, that's mine, Coach." And he said, "You want to turn that off, please?" And I said, "Sure," and I turned it off, and he said, "If you want to talk to me later and you want something on tape, I'd be happy to do that, but when we sit down like this after practice, that doesn't work for me." And I said, "Oh, man," I was so embarrassed.
Right.
But that's how I got started. Wow. So actually the campus station there, and then I worked at a couple different stations in Mankato and covered you know, the Viking training camps and had – special reports every day and all that. So I go back a long ways with a lot of the old-time Vikings.
That's cool to come back then and call a Thursday night game here, huh?
Yeah, it is. Got family coming up, you know, and I really don't have a great opportunity to hang around. I'd like to hang around a couple extra days, but I've got a 6:30 flight to Birmingham, Alabama, Friday morning because I've got Mississippi State and Alabama on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. So I've got to get out of town as quick as I can, but that's just the way it goes.
You're going to be embarrassed to hear this year, because I know that you're a humble guy and you grew up here and just the way you were brought up. But, I mean, for guys like Mike and I and guys working down here in the studio, I mean, you were in our homes all week, every week as we watch sports. You know? And what a career you've had to this point, right? I mean, you're now doing big-time college games for ESPN, and obviously you're on NFL Network. It looks like it's a lot of fun.
It is. It is. The games are fun. The travel gets really old after a while. And once you do it for as many years as I have, I talked to somebody the other day, and they said, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm where I normally am this time of day. I'm either on my way through security, or I've just gone through security at the airport." So I feel like I live at the Atlanta airport.
Yeah.
But you take away that aspect, and if I could just have one more day a week, doing two games is it's as big of a challenge as I've ever probably been through. And everybody goes, "Well, you know," a lot of people just think you show up at the game, you just start talking. That's not quite how it works.
Right. No,
you guys know that, but some people out there don't know that. So it's challenging, and it's it's a time management issue that I'm still working through. But once the game starts and that kickoff hits, it's as fun a job or as good a job as you can have.
I mean, athletes talk about adrenaline taking mm-hmm. over. I would say announcers would say the same thing. Right?
No doubt about it. Yeah. As soon as our open comes on and you go through the music and the scene set or the tease or whatever you might have in front of the game, you get juiced and you start feeling it. And my daughter always says, "Dad, don't you get nervous?" And I said, "I don't really get nervous. I get excited." But when that goes away, if that ever goes away, that's the time to walk away from it. But when you get that little bit of a rush right when the kick is about to happen, that's a good feeling.
From a college standpoint, all the college sports that you do, because you do basketball too.
Right.
So tell us about some of the cool venues that you've gone to, a football stadium or a college basketball arena or just a campus. You said you're going to Tuscaloosa.
Right.
But any cool places that stand out to you?
You know, a lot of them that you guys probably have been to. I love going to Madison, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
There's something about Madtown that just gets me, and I always have fun being there. If you do a game at LSU at night, and it's easy to say, it's something I tried to explain to my brother because he's just not a big college football fan, and you know, it's not because the Gophers have been good, bad, or whatever. He's just kind of indifferent about college. He watches because I do the games. But he doesn't understand what an SEC game at night means.
Yeah.
And I keep saying, you got to come down to Baton Rouge at night. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the scene. Basketball, I love Rupp Arena. I do a lot of Kentucky games.
Yeah.
And it's just the fans are rabid there, and there's 24,000 people to watch a basketball game, and you can't find a seat.
Yeah.
So those are some of the places that I like to go to.
And, you know, you're working with Mike Mayock on the Thursday night NFL Network broadcast, and we're familiar with Mike because he did our preseason games for five seasons.
Right.
So, and I know that you enjoy working with him, and or at least, you know, we all say we like working with him.
Yeah.
But aside from Mike – And Alex Flanagan, who does a great job for you guys. You've had some great partners that you've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Vitale, I'm sure you've called games with him.
Right.
Anyone that you've really that you would point out? I know you enjoy working with all of them, but anyone that you would point to that's been a lot of fun?
Yeah, Dick's a lot of fun, and we don't do as many games together as we used to, just because the passion he has for it's crazy. He's 72 years old, and he acts like he's, you know, 13, and so. And just the fact that I get to imitate him usually when I see him. Oh, Mr. Nestler, it's so good to see you. I can't wait for this game. You're PTP, you baby. You know, so anyway, that's fun. No, I've had great partners. You know, I started with the Vikings with Stu Voigt. And, so Stu and I are good friends. We just saw each other at a golf tournament in Charlotte a couple months ago. And we caught up pretty good. And when I went to the NFL at CBS, I was with Dan Fouts and Dan Jiggetts.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to ESPN, it was Gary Danielson, and Gary and I were together for a long time. And then I had Bob Greasy and Lynn Swann for 10 years. So we were really a trio. And then we had Bob Greasy and Paul McGuire together for 3 years. And that was crazy because McGuire's just a little bit – he's not wired the same as everybody else, you know. And now I've got Todd Blackledge and Mike Mayock and Holly Rowe and Alex Flanagan, and I couldn't ask for better partners.
Todd Blackledge, does he still do his food segment?
You know, he
again?
Didn't. He
they
didn't do it
that,
this year, but he just got a book deal, so he's going to start again with the bowl season. He's going to write a book. He's found a publisher that wants to do a book on Taste of the Town. So we're going to have it back next year for sure. So we're looking forward to it. And I don't know if I should look forward to it. I used to go with him about every third week. I told everybody, everybody said, don't you go with him all the time? I said, if I went with him all the time, I'd weigh 320 pounds. Because he can burn it off and I can't, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we've had a little break from it this year.
Yeah. After the segment, you'd have to go to the back to the hotel and find the workout room.
Absolutely.
That's what you'd have to do.
I know what level it's on and everything.
Yeah.
I figured that out this morning. So that is what I'm going to do this afternoon.
So you come to Minnesota. Let's shift the discussion to the Vikings. What do you think about the Vikings so far? We're off to a 5-2 start, and I'm sure you follow the games. You might not be able to watch every one, but in preparation for doing our game, you know about our team, plus you're a fan. So what do you think?
I think, you know, pleasantly surprised, and I think they're the surprise of the NFC without a doubt. Now, if that's going to stay that way, you know, things are going to have to improve, and you guys know that. I mean, having Adrian back the way he's playing is sensational. I think Christian's struggling a little bit, you know, earlier in the year. He was playing better, wasn't turning the ball over. And I think maybe he's trying to do too much, you know, and, you know, he waits a little too long in the pocket. He's got to cut it loose and just throw it around there and go play football. Defensively, you know, looks great. If you can get 7 sacks every week like they did against Arizona, that's fun stuff if you're a defensive player. And it leads to a lot of big plays that are going to go the other way. And, you know, basically AD and the defense is what saved the day last week. So we'll see if that holds up.
There was a moment in the game last week against Arizona. It was a fourth down play late in the game, and Arizona's like on our 35 or 40-yard line. And you, with the noise in the building and the fact that we, at that point, had six sacks already.
Right.
I mean, you knew that it a was sack coming. Was coming. You know, and when it gets like that, it's a lot of fun, and I hope you're able to call a moment like that
right.
on Thursday night.
You know, that the home field advantage and the noise in the domes, and we were just talking about that. We were wondering if cold weather, you know, the Packers being outside in December, if that's a bigger advantage than being in a dome with the noise. And I think really – I think maybe the cold might be a disadvantage to both teams. I don't think anybody loves playing in that stuff, you know. And so I think the noise in some of the domes really makes a difference in football games.
And I think that might, you know, that there might have been a change there, because when you were watching the Vikings as a youngster and Met Stadium and the whole
that
thing.
That was a definite
that's
advantage.
That's an advantage because the guys are used to it. They practice in it. Now you have every team has guys that are from warm states and cold states. So I agree with you. I think it's an even disadvantage for both teams.
And Coach Grant didn't have heaters. And McTingleoff and those guys didn't have long sleeves on.
You don't get that anymore.
No. So when you walked out at Met Stadium and the other team looked over there and said, "You got to be kidding me," that was an advantage.
Yeah. I mean, we're 4-0 at home this year, hoping to go 5-0, but we were just 1-7 at home last year, Brad. That's atypical for the Vikings. So.
I know, and I, you know, all my family and relatives and friends, they just live and breathe purple. And when it's an off season like that, it's not as much fun to go to work on Monday.
You know,
the parties you have are not as much fun. Really, nothing goes right if the Vikings aren't playing well.
I hope you have a good spotter now on Thursday night, because you're going to find number 12 for us. He lines up everywhere.
Yes.
And I don't know if you ever did a Florida game and called
a with Percy.
So you know all about him.
I know where he's going to be, and I know that if everything went really haywire, he'd take a direct snap, and I know he's behind the center then. So I'll find him. Don't worry.
So you know a lot about the Vikings, but, I mean, you guys have production meetings. We just pulled you from one. You're waiting for practice to get over. You're going to talk to Jared Allen. But you've spoken with our coordinators and probably some players too. What have you learned about the Vikings?
Just since I've been here?
Yeah.
I think that, you know, talking to Coach Musgrave, I think they know that they've got to get Christian back on track.
Yeah.
And I think just some screen passes, some quick things Thursday night, to get him back in rhythm. And get him away from thinking about the interceptions he threw and all that would be pretty important. Mm-hmm. And there's no better guy than Adrian Peterson behind you to get you in that comfort zone.
Yeah.
And but I think if they get him in a little bit of a rhythm tomorrow night, that would help the cause.
And we were talking earlier, you got to have a call ready, because when we sack Josh Freeman in the end zone, and Jared Allen is the one to do
you've
it.
You've already told me.
What does that mean?
That's going to be the NFL sack record.
Yes.
It'll be his fifth in his career, right?
Yep.
Thanks to you, Bobby.
That's
I would
right.
have never known that.
So, like, for moments like that, is it like you got to plan that out, the call out, or does it just happen for
you?
Oh,
it just happens.
I had
one of the 63-yard field goals, which was last year, Janikowski for Oakland against the Broncos out in Denver. And they lined up, and it was the last play of the first half. And I immediately came up with the other three guys. There have since been two more. But I came up with the other guys, starting with Dempsey. And I thought, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes.
It's experience.
I guess. Or being old.
Let's go with experience.
Okay.
So, okay. Well, I'm going to tape. I'll be at the game, obviously. I'm going to tape it. And just for fun, I'm going to go back and see if I notice any moment where the fan in Brad Nessler comes out during the call.
Okay, you do that.
You think it's going to happen?
It might.
You
got
to try. I know you have to try to keep it down. The producer's going to be in your ear, but, I mean, let it out once.
Just the fact that they're the home team and the noise factor, you'll probably hear my voice be a little bit on another octave than when Tampa Bay scores a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's just natural.
All right.
So
good.
That's what you'll hear.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us. Awesome chat.
You got it, Wobby. Thanks.
All right, man. Good luck Thursday.
Thank you.
That's a lot of fun. Brad Nessler, a distinct voice. You're going to hear it on Thursday night. One of the coolest guests we've ever had on the Wobcast, I think. So listen to his call. If you can't catch the game on the Vikings Radio Network, catch it on NFL Network. Brad Nessler, Minnesota native, calling the Vikings-Buccaneers game. Speaking of the Vikings and Buccaneers, it's a Thursday night kickoff, and we have three things that we want to see that will lead to a Vikings victory. Let's go over them right now. Number one, Christian Ponder. Obviously, we want to see a bounce-back performance from him. I think that he can do it. And he doesn't need to be extraordinary as the coaches say, do the ordinary things extraordinarily well. Let's see a high completion percentage. Take care of the ball. Limit the turnovers. Complete 65% of your passes. Throw for 200 or 225. Find Percy Harvin. Mix in Kyle Rudolph. Lean on the running game. If Christian Ponder can give us one of those performances, it's going to be good enough to beat this team. No disrespect to Tampa Bay, but the Vikings are hot. They're 5-2 right now. They're 4-0 at home. Adrian Peterson going well. Had 153 yards rushing last week. It's not going to take anything extraordinary to beat this team. It's just going to take a solid performance. That's what we need from Christian Ponder. Just a little bit of improvement will go a long way for the Vikings offense. Number two, put out the fire. Tampa Bay, they have two offensive players right now that are on fire. Josh Freeman, the last two games, 748 passing yards, a 6-1 touchdown to interception ratio. He is on fire. Vincent Jackson, their number one wide receiver, a big free agent acquisition this past offseason. Last week, 7 catches, 216 yards, and a touchdown, including a 95-yard reception. On fire. We need to put those fires out. We did it last week. John Skelton was sacked 7 times by our defense. He couldn't get anything going. And ask Larry Fitzgerald and Calvin Johnson how number one wide receivers do against the Vikings. Together, I think they had 9 catches, Larry Fitzgerald and Calvin did against us. We need to do that to Vincent Jackson. So after the game, Vincent Jackson can call Larry Fitzgerald and he can call Calvin Johnson. They can have a conference call, and they can have a pity party, and they can all complain about playing the Vikings defense. We need to put those two guys out, Josh Freeman and Vincent Jackson. You slow those two guys down, you're going to slow down this Tampa Bay offense. And number three, run, and run some more with Adrian Peterson. Pound it with number 28. We felt like last week against Arizona, he left some yards out there on the field, an ankle tackle or two away from breaking a 60-yard run. Could have run him a little bit more in the second half as we were trying to salt away that victory. I think there's more there for Adrian Peterson to get. I know he had a ton of yards last week, 153, and that's a lot. But I think he can go for more than that against this defense. And it's no disrespect to Tampa's defense. They actually are number one in the NFL, allowing just 3.1 yards per carry. But it's all about Adrian Peterson. He's healthy. He looks good. I think he's been ascending this season, and we saw that last week with 153 yards. I think he's sitting on another big game, but you got to give it to him. So the number three thing that will lead to a victory for the Vikings on Thursday night, give it to 28. It's fun to watch the Mall of America Field crowd get behind him. It's fun to see him frustrated by an ankle tackle that prevents a touchdown, and so then you give it to him again on the next play, and then he's going to break it. That's what we want to see from number 28. The three things we want to see that will lead to a Vikings victory: improvement from Christian Ponder, put out the fire with Josh Freeman and Vincent Jackson, and then pound it with number 28. That is it for us today. Thanks again for listening. To play us out, we'll leave you with a hit from Johnny Cash.
Listen, I've traveled every road in this here land.
Take it away.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tocopilla, Barranquilla, and Padilla. I'm a killer. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, man.